2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST to get 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, you're getting access to our Domination Station, VIP articles and tools, and of course, the DFS Army Slack chat, where you can chat with me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army Daily. Once again, folks, that's DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST to get 10% off each month of your subscription. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find Keith Hall at Boomers DFS Daddy. So, Keith, we already talked about it. A fantastic night of NBA on the docket for us here. This is just the night where you just sit down and you don't do anything but watch NBA.
Now you're rubbing it in.
I didn't mean to. I really didn't. Towards the end, I was like, oh, man, he's going to hate me for this one.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, a lot of you don't know, but tonight is usually me and the wife sat down, and what we think we're going to start doing is just to make sure that everything is good.
Right.
And that we are still connecting, you know, because she is so supportive in what I do. I get to work from home. She's understanding that, you know, I got to take a couple hours out of each day on the weekends to make sure that everybody gets their projections and everything. So we work a lot of our schedule around that. You know, we make sure that we're home for a couple hours on the weekends and stuff like that. So but what we started talking about doing was doing basically an evening of antiquity. Now, for those of you that don't understand what this means.
This is also me here, too.
Yes. Our daily lives are so consumed by computers, iPads, TV, cell phones, electronics basically in general, that we've decided that once a month we are going to, during the week, not on a weekend, you know, where we're out busy doing things and stuff like that. During the week, we're going to sit down, and once she gets home from work, everything goes off. I'm talking iPads, cell phones, TV doesn't come on, computer gets shut off completely, you know, cell phones go in the bedroom, and we're going to, you know, reconnect as a family. And what this is going to allow us to do, hopefully, is to make sure that, you know, we are caught up, that we are on the same page, that we are communicating, not only as, you know, me and her, but, you know, also with Cameron, because a lot of what we do, you know, we cook dinner when she gets home, and then we sit down and we watch Puppy Dog Pals and, you know, Family Feud, and, you know, because he loves Family Feud. Every time they clap, he claps. and it's awesome. But that's kind of what tonight is. And no, I cannot say, honey, tonight is Oklahoma State versus Houston. Or Oklahoma versus Houston, OKC versus Houston. I'll get it right.
Sure, all right. Third time's a charm.
I can't say that because, you know, in my opinion, by me sacrificing or giving up this game for a night with the family is not only well worth it, but also shows how I won't let basketball or baseball or DFS kind of overtake and control my life. So.
Now, I, for one, was not in favor of this motion. What I thought you should have knocked out like 7 months in that 1 week that we had the NBA All-Star break. Like, you could have gotten, like, where there was no games, you could have gotten February, March, April, May, June, and July done in that whole week right there.
Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that because I was doing honeydews.
It should. They got to take another look at the system.
I was doing honeydews, so... that was to catch up from the previous, that was to catch up from August, September, October, November, December, January.
Yeah, you're so, backloaded, man. Backloaded. Yeah. So now, if my future wife is out there listening for whatever reason, that won't be happening, right? Like I'm not gonna be doing that. You want, like, maybe we can go camping. That's what I'll meet in the middle on something like that. Like maybe a night of camping, but no, absolutely not. That would just not happen in my household. But
yeah, I don't think.
And again, bad planning on your part, doing it on the night of OKC Houston. That's terrible planning on your part.
Yeah, I don't think it's too much.
When they were playing like Sacramento or something.
I don't think it's too. Well, no, because we lose to Sacramento.
Oh boy. Well, see, exactly. I wouldn't want to watch that. Who the hell wants to watch themselves lose to Sacramento?
I think it's one of those things. Like, you know, you've got to make sure that you take care of number one first. And she's very supportive of what I do, of what we do. She stood with me when honestly we had 200 members in the NBA channel and we weren't getting paid but crickets. And we were doing this for really, honestly, the potential growth that we loved and the love of the game. I know that sounds cheesy.
Kevin Costner,
but,
great movie.
Oh, fantastic movie.
Probably one of the best baseball how do you say this? Like
they did baseball
the best in movies, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think the only thing about that movie that wasn't really done well, and this is, you know, this is second to like major league movies and Bull Durham, or at least the first two major league movies.
No.
And Bull Durham.
Love of the game, number one.
Yeah, I mean it was awesome because it took part around one game. Surrounded by, you know, 35 years or whatever it was.
And Vin Scully called it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was Vin Scully. And who's the guy that does it for the Dodgers on the TV broadcast?
I don't know.
Oh, gosh. I can't remember his name.
Matt Vasgersian?
No, it wasn't Vasgersian. It was like, oh, gosh. Now I'm going to have to.
All right. We'll figure it out. All right, folks. We got a loaded NBA slate tonight. 8 games on this one. So we'll be getting into it, and as always, from now on, to begin the pod is now. All right, point guard position tonight. Russell Westbrook, your boys there at the top, taking on Houston. Any worries whatsoever in this matchup against Chris Paul?
Not really. Paul hasn't been the greatest on defense this year, not that he's not good. It's just that we don't have to worry about really, you know, avoiding him quite as much as we used to in the past. It was, you know, one of those things that he's Steve Lyons is
you're good.
Who the other guy was. It's look, he plays well at home. He plays well as a Vegas dog. He plays well in rematches. It's a little bit of a negative pop on the DVP, but he's still, at least for FanDuel, he's still the top-rated point guard. And honestly, I think he's the number two-rated player. He's got the highest value of the slate. Out of the studs, and I mean, we all know that when it comes down to choosing guys like Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook and, you know, James Harden, Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, you know, all of these guys are capable of popping 60. You know, I guess you can add Nikola Jokic in there. He's capable of popping 60.
Loves the matchup.
You know, it's not something that I worry too much about. Plus, he's $1,000 cheaper than AD, so it allows me to get a little bit more balanced lineup. I don't have to quite go as dumpster diving. You know, if you look over his last couple games or whatever, you know, he hasn't shot the ball terribly well, but I think it's more of the fact that, you know, he does so many different things, and he can with the ball.
Sure.
That you just, I mean, the 44 point games, the 45 point games are like his floor and his outlier. Out of his last, okay, so he's actually gotten a little bit better from the field the last couple games where he shot at least 38%. The three games before that, or three out of the last four games before that, he was under 37% from the field. Yep. And that includes a 25%, a 26%, a 28%. And those were against Sacramento, Golden State, and Orlando.
Yes, our mutual friend Colin Cowherd gave him the Golden Brick Award for the month of February.
Well, see, I think that's a little harsh because it was only the back end part of February that he did that.
Well, no, he actually did. He had the lowest 3-point percentage of anybody in the NBA in the month of February. And but again, we're nitpicking on
well,
a guy
that's
that
not
we know
his game.
Can do everything. I know. Just saying, it's data. Take that for data.
You want to know how you know if you're going to get a good Russell Westbrook game is if he comes down in transition, he stops and pops at the elbow.
Yes,
and
that is
us.
His game. That
if you know he can post up and turn around and hit the fadeaway, and he's obviously very good at driving to the basket and finishing. You know, I still think that he's probably one of the more underrated guys in that aspect because he can finish. He plays so fast and he can finish through contact that he doesn't get fouled nearly as much, or he gets fouled all the time and doesn't get as many calls as he probably should. But if he's hitting that mid-range jumper, that's when you know you're going to get a good Russell Westbrook performance.
Mid-range master.
Yeah, he is. That's like there, and there's the Rockets are really, really kind of one of these teams that say, okay, the mid-range jumper is the most inefficient shot, and I think overall in the NBA that's probably true, but I think for certain players that. That's their sweet spot, their comfort zone. Guys like David West, Russell Westbrook, guys like that that just can, you know, Dirk Nowitzki's really good at it. You know, there's a lot of guys that individually, that's probably one of their better shots. Russ is not a three-point guy. Like, if you get 35, 40% from beyond the arc, then... You know, he's not a Steph Curry. He's not a Klay Thompson.
He is not.
So
yeah, Westbrook.
It's completely different games.
Westbrook with 60 on DK, 58.7 on FD, that FanDuel. The last time that these two teams met this season. It was actually the only time these two teams met this season. So you just mentioned Steph Curry. Let's talk about him. He's in a fantastic matchup here against the Brooklyn Nets. Already, you know, I got to get this. You got to defend your boy. I got to defend my whole team right here now. All right, listen. Just because the Nets are on the schedule does not mean that they are going to get their ass kicked. All right, like I pulled up the numbers, posted it at the NBA channel earlier. Nets, second best team against the spread this season. All right, and they're like a couple decimal points lower than the Boston Celtics. Now, the one thing that works out for the Nets is that they usually get dubbed by Vegas as like 14.5-point underdog. So that's an easier number to cover. But I don't think it's any secret that the Nets have been, you know, competitive in a lot of these games. They're a lot more different than a lot of the teams at the bottom of the standings right now because they're not trying to tank. They're trying to win because their draft pick is going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But
yeah,
it's just
the same. It's the same thing that we talked about, like with the Lakers. Like everybody was like, "Oh gosh, Lakers are trying to lose." Well, what benefit is it for the Lakers and the Nets to lose?
Right.
Like seriously, they don't get to keep their draft pick. Guess what? They're trying to rebuild. So the best way to rebuild, play to win, as our good friend, who's now the coach at Arizona State or Arizona now.
Well, Arizona State is Bobby Hurley. Oh, he's going football. Yeah, Edwards. Yeah,
Herm Edwards. Okay.
Wow, that's a power coaching combo right there at ASU. Bobby Hurley and Herm Edwards. My goodness.
You play to win the game.
By the way, and all my Jersey listeners know that when Bobby Hurley was rocking at Duke, there was no difference between like Jesus Christ and Bobby Hurley in that neck of the woods. Like everybody was a huge Bobby Hurley fan. In the state of New Jersey.
It's kind of like the guy in the Lakers-Portland game last night wearing the, you know, what was it, the Van Exel jersey.
Yes, yes.
I was like, wow.
I think Van Exel, good buddy of mine. We actually played in the same Madden League a few years ago, and that is no joke. Okay, Steph Curry here tonight. Again, we're going to see a nice pace in this game. While the Nets have ran a little slower, at this time than they have all season. Again, it's still a nice pace. We know this team scores. We know they take a bunch of three-pointers. So let's play this scenario here. I think even if the Nets do get their ass kicked in this game, it's going to be in the second quarter. Or I'm sorry, not in the second quarter, but in the second half. So I believe that this game is going to be very competitive for a good portion of it, and we'll probably see the Warriors run away late. So, I don't think anybody should have any blowout concerns for any of these guys. And again, Curry going to be the point guard, probably going to have a nice night here. I really like Curry, Durant, Draymond Green all in this game to have big nights. I think Klay can be right around that 5X value territory, but I think this is going to be a really big night for pretty much everybody on Golden State tonight that means something.
Yeah, I mean, you got to project it. You know, if they play a full game, we're looking at 36 minutes for these guys. If they play, it's been pretty evenly distributed. Now, Curry only played 23 minutes against Atlanta, and supposedly he didn't play the final 18 minutes of that game because he came down on Zaza's ankle, which the fact that Zaza's now not only hurting and falling and hurting other people's team members, but now only his own, the dude just needs to retire.
Hey, he was the one that fell into Durant last year, right?
I don't know about the Durant. I know there was the Kawhi Leonard, because it's now the Zaza rule, where you have to allow them to not only you have to allow them to finish their shooting motion, and you can't like undercut their feet, but you have to he fell on Westbrook last time they played, which was horrible. Horrible. Sure. Horrible.
Live final night. Can't be falling on Westbrook's leg like that. Come on, man.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
You know better than that.
Yeah. It's the fact that he's now hurting Curry is bad. But anyway, so, Curry, he would have had a monster game against Atlanta. He played 23 minutes and had 40 fantasy points. He went bonkers. Curry's finally got his little shot back. It's one of those things that you've got to kind of take into consideration. The spacing on the floor for the Warriors is so important. And the defense that Draymond brings, along with the ball handling skills, is so important that it's one of those things that if you really, really, really think about it, and I mean really, really, really think about it,
really, really,
they absolutely love just like they can lull. And I've never seen a team do this consistently over the course of, a 3 or 4 year period, and adding and taking away pieces. They literally can be down 15 in the fourth quarter. And can anybody tell me that there's just no shred of confidence that they're going to come back? Because we've seen them do it time and time again, and they can put up a ton of points in 15 minutes or in a 5 minute time span. And that's usually what they do, is they'll get off to a slow start. Usually Steve Kerr will call a timeout, say we need to focus, or he'll let the players say they need to focus, whatever it is. And then they come back out and they focus for a little bit. Then they struggle a little bit to start the third quarter. And then all of a sudden, about midway through the third quarter, they're like, all right, we're done playing with these guys. Time to call it a night. And they just go – they just like one of their guys, like one of the – either Durant or Curry or Klay will just all of a sudden just, drop three threes, get a steal. Draymond will get a block and somebody will get an easy transition three-point, because they don't go dunk. No. The Warriors, when they get in transition, they stop and pop from like 30 feet.
We talked about it, before we hit the record button today. But I'm not worried about Curry's knee or his ankle. Him and a couple of the Warriors played around at Augusta National. Yes, the same Augusta National. Quiet. Home of the Masters. They played out there. So, don't worry. All is well. He'll be fine for this one. All right, so we talk about the top tier of point guard today, but you got some other options here. I'm just going to, graze over some guys here real quick. We could talk about who you like the most at the end, but you've got Damian Lillard here against the Knicks. Portland is on the back end of a back-to-back. Maybe that makes the game a little closer.
With a little bit of travel, but going from L.A. to Portland, sure. I don't think is that big of a flight. I could be wrong. I think it's only about 2 hours.
Sure. Now, could be a little worrisome. The Knicks could just, you know, be who they usually are. I tend to think the latter of that is going to happen. So, you know, Lillard's going to be in a good spot as always.
The Knicks have their draft pick, so they are trying to lose.
Okay. All right. Kemba Walker, 40 plus on both sites in each of his last two meetings with the Sixers. Now, I know it's not a great matchup, you know, for point guards this season against the Sixers, but again, Kemba been on a nice little roll here late.
Yeah, it's. I think if you're looking for a little bit of game theory, then and you're trying to decide between Chris Paul, Kemba Walker, I think a lot of people are going to default to Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. I think Kemba Walker is a nice little pivot from there. I've got him basically the same exact player. The only difference is that the OKC matchup for point guards is a little bit tougher. Now, a lot of that has to do with the quality of point guards that Oklahoma City has faced. Other than Curry, there haven't been a lot of, you know, really, really good point guards. The problem is that with Chris Paul, it's kind of one of those situations where you're sitting there going, okay, is he really going, like, I thought originally that his price drop was because, you know, the first time I noticed his price drop was when they went to go play the Jazz. So I was like, okay, maybe FanDuel's doing some dynamic pricing and they dropped his price because of that. Yeah. He's yet to kind of, like, I'm going to keep loading up on Chris Paul. Like, I just, he's too cheap, in my opinion, for what he can produce. You know, he hasn't hit 40 since the Denver game in Denver. He's got three games where he's right there around that 40 mark. Then the last two games against the Clippers and Boston. Now, the Clippers, there's probably a lot of emotion going on there. You know, he did not shoot the ball well. And then Boston, that game was kind of the Clint Capella, James Harden game. They kind of both went off. It's just, you know, one of those things that you can't really. I honestly don't know how to explain that Boston game.
Harden is the man. That's really all we need to talk about.
Yeah, but we've seen both of these guys go off at the same point. I don't mind playing both of these guys together, and I'm talking about Chris Paul and James Harden. I actually really like Chris Paul tonight. But I want whoever's going to be lower owned. I tend to think that because of the nature of the Oklahoma City and Houston game, that Chris mm-hmm. Paul's going to be higher owned. But looking at the game logs, we might have a lot of people actually follow the game logs and go Kemba over Chris Paul because, you know, Paul's yet to break 30 over the last two games.
Oh, my. All right, so we got a situation tonight where Toronto is taking on Atlanta. So, I believe Kyle – I forgot to look this up because I'm an idiot, but I believe that Kyle Lowry has a good history against ATL. I just want to – I'm going to look that up in one sec. But the guy
No. We – hold on. We've talked about this one before on the pod. Both DeRozan and Lowry – and now it might change tonight, but this season they've both sucked against Atlanta. Like, absolutely horrible.
All right, well, that's not the main guy I wanted to talk about anyway.
We're talking about point guards.
Sure. Well, there's another Toronto guy that I wanted to talk about. No. Well, the cat's out of the bag already.
No, right now. Like, let's talk about Kyle Lowry first.
Ah, all right.
I mean, okay, so.
The numbers aren't good. All right, we can just say that. I'm more excited about the other guy.
Well, there's a reason. So we got 38 back in November 25th. It was the day after Thanksgiving or the day before Thanksgiving. I can't remember which, but it was back in around the Thanksgiving time, 38. Then they turned around and they played again in right before New Year's, and you got a 29 or a 24. And then they turned around and played the end of January, he got a 23.
Okay. Yes, so, those are bad. That is bad memory on my part initially. Those are shitty numbers.
And I don't think DeRozan was any better, to be completely honest. I don't know what it is, but these two guys for Atlanta or these two guys for the Raptors just this year, for whatever reason, had not played well.
Hey, before you go there, in two, all right, so the two bad games that DeRozan had against Atlanta, one went for 17 on DK, 16 on FanDuel, and then they had another, DeRozan had another one that was really bad, just below 25 on both sides. He did have a good game on December 29th, just below 40 on both sides in that one. This season it hasn't been great.
Yeah, for what we've been paying for these two guys, like, they've neither one of them have paid off their price. Now, if you go back and you look at, okay, so we've got 77 for Kyle Lowry tonight, and we've got 82 for DeMar DeRozan. That's a lot more fair priced, and I'd be willing probably to take a little bit of a chance on them. Mm-hmm. But the reason that they've struggled so much is the reason we're about to talk about this next guy.
Yay! See, I was ready to just, like, bulldoze over, like, all the plans to get to the front door. You took the walkway.
Yeah, you got to let me lead you in.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, why don't you go ahead and talk about our boy?
Yeah, I want to – with Fred Van Fleet, a.k.a. Fred Van Vleezy. But now, this is interesting, right? So, the last time that these two teams faced off, Van Fleet goes for 47.3 on DraftKings, 49.9 on FanDuel.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell everybody how many minutes he did that in?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a stat line where you would think he played, like, 60 minutes in that game. No, folks. He did this in just under 19 minutes.
18 minutes and 28 seconds.
It's insane!
Like, now, I'm sitting there going, what the?
Yeah, so he ends up getting some nice bonus points in this game, right? So 2 steals, 3 blocks. That's awesome for FanDuel. Gives you a nice little something there on DK, but where he got the bonus on DK is that he hit 4 3-pointers in that game as well. So everything went well for him in that one. No turnovers either, which worked out well. He had 7 rebounds in that game as well. Now, are we going to get that kind of performance tonight? Probably not, but again, he is $4,200 on DraftKings, $4,800 on FanDuel, so a little more of a decision over there. But on DraftKings, this is a fantastic way to go this evening.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a couple guys sit there and kind of pop off with the Van Vliet. You know, he's going to be a sleeper. Let me let you know something. Everybody took note of that 18 minutes, 48 FanDuel points. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be some sort of sleeper, especially with the spread close to 12. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't do it in cash games because you're banking on both Lowry and DeRozan sucking, and that he's going to be the guy that's going to come out. Because if you sit there and you look at it, they sucked in the first two games too, and he didn't do anything in the first two games.
Sure.
Like, so it's not a foregone conclusion that, you know, Van Vliet's going to come in and, you know, just dominate the Atlanta Hawks tonight.
No.
Do I think he's a very, very good tournament option on DraftKings to get off some of the chalk and save your money? Yes. But do I think that you should make him a part of your core? No, absolutely not.
Yes, definitely. I mean, number one, we're banking on him to perform. Right? Number two, we're banking on him to perform in an ideal situation where he does that. I mean, I actually like a lot of the Raptors' second unit in this game, and we talked about it before we started recording, but we went back and we looked at how Toronto did when they were favored by this much, and usually it's warranted. You know, they cover a lot of these high spreads that they usually get, so... I always call Toronto the most business-like team in the NBA, where they go into the arena, they kick your ass with both units, and then they leave and they're on to the next city. Well, they're home tonight, so they don't have to go anywhere. But, I think that this is a fantastic spot for a lot of different people on the Raptors to, get some production here. Most importantly, though, from the second unit.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk about actually one of my favorite tournament pivots coming up here in just a moment with the Toronto Raptors. I actually really like this guy, but we'll talk about him here in a little bit.
Well,
I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm going through all of this, and I'm like, You know, is this really somebody that I want to take a chance on, and kind of allow a lot of this to kind of take into fruition? And okay. My answer is kind of no.
Well, who are we speaking about?
I'm speaking about CJ Miles.
Okay.
Now, he's a shooting guard / small forward on DK, but he's a small forward on DK on FanDuel.
Min price, too.
Yeah, and he's mid-price. So if I'm going to play the blowout card, and he gets minutes no matter what, whether it's a blowout or not, if I'm going to play that blowout card, I'm going to CJ Miles.
Yeah, I was going to say, without OG Anunoby, they brought – I already forgot the guy's name in. But, yeah, I mean, it's like his role hasn't changed much.
They
know,
brought
the
in
other
Malachi
night,
Richardson, but he hasn't played yet.
Malcolm Miller. That was the guy who they last game. Looking at his game log, it's not that great. Now, I know the game against Washington, he went bananas from the three-point line. So that's where that massive surge happened there for him. And you see that, I believe he hit five or six threes that game. And you could see his points, like, really take a spike up there. But, again, Min Price, going to be playing that same role as usual. So against Atlanta, hey, it could certainly work.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking at the rest of the point guard position, I like Austin Rivers tonight. CJ Williams and Tyrone Wallace are down in the G League, so this is just an easier path to minutes here for Austin Rivers. He's looked pretty good over the last two games. He's actually taken on the
Not
team
that he
that,
needed it.
right, and he's also taken on the team that originally drafted him. Now, I don't think that that's a narrative. I don't think he's going to see any extra boost to this or whatever. That's just me throwing words in there on the podcast. But it is New Orleans. It's a fantastic matchup. Again, the minutes without CJ Williams, Tyrone Wallace in his way, I just think that they're very concrete. They're above the 30-minute mark, only 5,800 on DraftKings tonight. I like him there. 63 on FanDuel. Again, it's not terrible, but you got to think about it a little bit.
Yeah, you do kind of got to think about it a little bit. There's also a guy by the name of Milos Teodosic that's going to be in there running some minutes. It's basically a three-guard lineup. They're going to run they're going to run Lou Williams out there 35 plus minutes. They're going to run Milos out there about 30, and Austin Rivers about 30 or 35. I'm sorry. You've got Wesley Johnson in there. We know what this Clippers rotation is. The problem is, is he going to be efficient enough to actually pay that off? And one of the things that has been very, very difficult to kind of predict with this Clippers team is, how they're going to run their offense, because at times they run it through, Lou Williams, and at times they run it through Austin Rivers and DeAndre Jordan. It's very, very difficult to kind of know which one of these guys is going to kind of take shots.
Damn, I hate when I forget that word.
Oh, I know. And okay, so here's another question. Is Gallinari out for the night already?
I believe so.
Okay. I thought it was questionable. I just wasn't sure. Okay, so Milos is basically going to take – like, if you get 10 shots out of Milos, then you can just consider yourself lucky.
Indeed. Go get some lottery tickets as well.
Yeah, exactly. But he's under 5K, so you can kind of, deal with that. The problem is when you're sitting there looking at Austin Rivers – he's going to take his 12 to 15 shots. And he's been shooting really well the last two games, but the game before that, he was 3 for 12. If you can get around 50% from the field, then, he just got to contribute a little bit on the peripheral categories and you're good to go. But he's not, 5,500 anymore. He's now 63. I don't mind it. I like it. New Orleans has been bleeding points to the point guard position. I just don't know if I really, 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 really want to pay 6,300 for Austin Rivers tonight. Then again, there's not a lot that you can pivot to in that general vicinity of the price range. I mean, yeah, you've got Dennis Smith Jr. and Rajon Rondo, but do I want to chase the Rondo big game? I don't usually do that.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, let's talk about Rondo here. And by the way, Danilo Gallinari believes he's going to be out for – or they said he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks with that hand injury.
Okay.
So he's definitely out. You know, I was just looking at the player blurb. By the way, I used to write for RotoWire, but the guy on there, he was talking about, oh, if you figure CJ Williams and Ty Wallace to get some extra minutes, well, you know, they can't do that if they're not with the team.
Yeah, Ty Wallace is – they're waiting to kind of sign him to a deal for the rest of the season.
Yes.
CJ Williams, I think, just isn't ready to come back into the NBA. If you remember, he got hurt, and so they were kind of getting him ready to go. And the only reason they brought him up was because they were in talks with Sean Kilpatrick.
He's there now.
I know, but they only brought him up. They only brought CJ Williams up for one game.
Gotcha.
From the G League, and that's because they hadn't finalized the deal with Sean Kilpatrick yet. And now that Kilpatrick is finalized, Kilpatrick's in there, which
shouldn't matter. Clippers, I don't even know why the Bucks signed Kilpatrick, but, you know, hey, you have fun with them. He's a roster plugger-inner, you know.
Yeah.
He ain't playing for my team. Hell no.
Not anymore. Hell. He's not.
No, I mean, like, if I were running a team, I definitely wouldn't have Sean Kilpatrick on it. I don't like his game. And I've seen plenty of it, so that's probably why I don't like it that much. All right, anybody else here who we missed at the point guard position? Rondo, we got to talk about. That was the one guy I wanted to talk
to.
Well, we got to talk about what's bad here with Rondo, because you know people are going to like it. I mean, I love playing Rondo, but again, I pick and choose my spots. I don't just automatically plug him in like a Jimmy Harden or something like that. But what to you is so unappealing about Rondo in this one?
The fact that he's shooting lights out right now. Like, and normally that would be like, oh, he's shooting lights out. He's on a good little streak. Let's go to him. No. Because with Rondo, as soon as he's doing that, it all comes crashing down.
Now, well, here's the deal. Well, all right. What I want to say is, you know, Rondo, he's played at least 32 minutes in each of the last four games. We got that. But you don't think that this matchup maybe lends itself to some serious upside?
Not for Rondo.
Okay.
I mean, okay, so three out of the last four games, he shot over 43% from the field.
Mm. And I've noticed some improvement in Rondo's shooting before this little four-game blast-off. At times.
At times. It's still very inconsistent. If you're telling me that I'm going to chase a hot streak with Rajon Rondo, then I'm telling you that you're crazy. If you're telling me that he's, you know, his price has come down and, you know, he just hasn't put up the shot attempts, then I'll tell you that I'm probably not going to chase him either, but I'm more likely to pay him to try to catch the upswing in tournaments than I am to put him in my cash games on a hot streak.
Okay. Fair enough.
At $6,500.
I will be a Rondo apologist. I'm going to look into it a little more since this is the Clippers, but I think if it was, you know, like, a bunch of other teams that he was going up against, you know, I would certainly try to fade that ownership. But we shall see. Who is that pivot? I thought you had it, like, ready to go.
Oh,
right.
I did. But
he's like, hold on, I got to find him now.
No. I'm tempted between two guys.
Okay.
J.J. Barea and Tyler Johnson.
Okay.
Now,
would you throw Jamal Murray in there as well?
Jamal Murray's $6,900. It's a different price point.
It's in the neighborhood.
It's $1,200 more than J.J. Barea.
Well, you mentioned... Well, all right, a pivot from Rondo. I'm saying that, you know, that's not a big... like to go to Jamal Murray from Rondo.
Oh yeah, I mean I'll play Jamal Murray over Rondo every day of the week. But
I'll buy.
He's just a better player.
It's your love of Canadians. I get it, man.
I've got Canadian blood in me.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You're being a little biased here.
So I think you're just being biased by choosing
anti-bias?
Yeah. Whatever.
I believe they call that.
Yeah. I'm not biased to Canadians because I can't stand playing Andrew Wiggins.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyways, Tyler Johnson, he's 5K. Wayne Ellington is questionable, I believe.
Yes, questionable.
You know, he didn't play the other night. Dwayne Wade has played a larger string of minutes over the last couple games. This is a back end of the back-to-back. I do expect Dwayne Wade to not play as much tonight. Not that he's not capable of playing minutes on the back end of the back-to-back, but, I mean, look, like, his max in minutes has been 26 since the All-Star break. He's going to play 26 to 25 minutes, and he's about to that spot where on the back of him in the back-to-back, I'm just going to fade him because of his price tag at 5K, which means that I'm going to go as – and he's a point guard on FanDuel. On the back of him in the back-to-back, I'll go straight to Tyler Johnson, who only played 18 minutes last night. I really kind of like that pivot as, you know, off of the – you know, Van Vliet, off of the, you know, Trey Burke, off of the Emmanuel Mudiay type plays. I like Tyler Johnson right there in the middle. So,
All right, let's move it on to the shooting guard position. Let's headline it with James Harden. He is playing the OKC Thunder tonight, the team that initially drafted him. He nearly hit 70 on both sites against OKC in their only meeting this season. Look, we know that this is going to be just an offensive juggernaut show going on tonight between the two teams. So I know a lot of people might want to go to Westbrook or something like that. How do you put in Harden in a place of studs tonight? Where do you rank him among the other guys?
1A, 1B.
Ooh, I like that. The other A or the B being Westbrook, I assume.
Yeah. With a 1C being Anthony Davis.
C's in the backs, all right.
I think I'm probably just gonna set, like, this is all three of them on the slate is the reason that I'm, you know, scripting this slate for tournaments. Is I think I'm legit gonna set them all at like 55-60% and just run.
Yeah.
Because any one of these guys can go for 75. I think these three guys have the highest ceilings on the slate. I love, and then I'll go through and I'll kind of try to correlate some guys with each other. Like I'll run a Trevor Ariza out there with the James Harden. I'll run a Clint Capella out there with the James Harden. You know, a Paul George or Steven Adams with Westbrook, a Drew Holiday with Anthony Davis. Like, it's very, very, very tough for me to and the only reason I think that Anthony Davis is a 1C is because of the fact that he's $1,000 more expensive on FanDuel than these other two.
Oh my.
I'm trying to look and see what he is on DraftKings real quick.
AD on DK?
Yeah, what's their price?
11.6.
So they're all right there around each other on DK. Yeah, so on DK, Davis is 11.6, Harden's 11.5, and Westbrook are 11.3. So, I mean, there it's just basically hoping that, you know, you can get what you can get the higher score out of the bunch. Some people would take the approach of, okay, well, why can't I just go and there's a lot of value at the point guard position. You know, I'll just forego Westbrook and go get my Anthony Davis, James Harden. Well, I could say there's a lot of value at the power forward position. I can say there's a lot of value at the shooting guard position. Because right now at 1 o'clock Central, there isn't, but guess what? Come 5 o'clock Central, there's going to be.
2:20 Eastern here, by the way. 2:20 Eastern.
I'm being generic.
I see that. I see. All right, yeah, so again, all it takes is the wind to be blowing the right way for me to want to play James Harden. Probably going to have some exposure.
Hey, now.
Probably going to have some exposure to him over there. I would say more Harden for me on FanDuel, and then I'll probably try to go with AD on DraftKings. I mean, that's just looking at it right now. I really haven't started any roster construction, but you know, that's how I'm looking at it right now. By the way, DK people, I see what I've been missing here over the last couple. I'm really enjoying the multi-position thing that you could do there and kind of switch your lineups that way. So my bad, DK. I kind of gave him some heat, but I like it over here. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, mainly, it's not bad at all. I just wish their pricing was tighter.
Mainly because, yeah, I would probably say how much I hated them again if I went 0 for the last 3 days. But, I mean, I won in each of the last 3 days over there. So how are you going to hate that?
Again, like I said, I would like them a lot better if their pricing was tighter like it was last year.
Yeah, well, hey, you know what? But that's the thing. I feel like, and again, too, like when baseball rolls around and like we play on fantasy draft every now and again, but it's the same thing where you're used to a certain site's pricing and then all of a sudden you switch it up and you see, wow, they're really underpriced over here. So I just think that that's an advantage that I know most people have been probably doing this for a while. But you
well,
know,
I'm again, saying they're underpriced compared to their pricing was a lot tighter last year.
Right.
And I know this because we had a lot of success on DK last year.
Tons of success last year on DK.
And it
couldn't stop having enough success.
Yeah, it quite hasn't been the same. And it's not us.
So. That's the only thing. Like, if somebody ever – it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault, man.
Exactly. That's what I try to tell my wife all the time. It doesn't work. It's not my fault.
So at the shooting guard position, got some other interesting guys here. Let's go to Lou Williams first. I really like this game a lot between the Clippers and the Pelicans. If you look at both teams in terms of their offensive efficiency and their pace numbers and stuff like that, like, this is a fantasy goldmine right here, my friends. Again, with Lou coming off the bench, I know some people kind of they cringe at the idea of that, but man, this guy, like when he gets on a heater, oh my goodness. And he's certainly in a great position to do that tonight against the Pelicans.
Oh God. Like he's such a pure scorer. Like as Matt Pinto would say, he's got a cotton candy sweet stroke.
Well, you know, one of the Nets color analysts the other day, Sarah Kustak, she said it best. She goes, Lou Williams is a professional scorer.
Yeah, that's his mantra like, around the league.
I'm like, that is the best way I've ever heard someone describe Lou Williams, a professional scorer.
Yep. I mean, he's just, you know, you've got your shooters, you've got your chuckers, you've got your playmakers, and you've got your scorers. And Lou Williams is your scorer. He's running away with the Sixth Man of the Year. There's no doubt. Like that was wrapped up before Christmas, I think. I mean Lou Williams is a good option. Like I said, I don't know if I'm going to go to DeMar DeRozan. I do like Bradley Beal and Jrue Holiday a little bit. It's okay. Kind of top loaded here. Will Barton's got a little bit of attention.
I really like that Jrue Holiday play.
Yeah, and I'll pair Jrue with AD. I pair AD and Mirotić together and stuff like that. So, my question to you was Tim Hardaway Jr.
These Knicks. I don't even want an explanation, Keith. I don't even want an explanation.
I don't care what you want. I'm giving the people what they want. Look, there's only like two guys that I'm really, really kind of confident in playing on the Knicks. One of them is Tim Hardaway Jr., and that's because he's played at least 34 minutes in the last two. The Golden State game was 28, the Boston 33, Orlando 34. I mean, look, I know they're going to the quote-unquote youth movement and everything, but he's still playing his minutes. Why? Because he signed a contract. He's going to be there a couple years. I don't like playing Emmanuel Mudiay that much, I don't think. I mean, he's going to play anywhere between 18 and 30 minutes. That's a wide range of outcomes that I don't want to mess with. Frank Ntilikina is actually playing more of... Hey, I said it right!
He did. The T is silent.
He's actually playing more the two than the three. The two than the one. They're running... Right. Emmanuel Mudiay and Trey Burke out there. I don't like running Trey Burke out there because he's it's whichever one of these point guards gets hot. The other guy I like running out there right now for the Knicks is Enes Kanter. And his minutes are always up and down, but he has such a high fantasy point per minute that he can put up 40 in 22 minutes. You know, he can put up 45 in 28 in 26 minutes. So I only need him to get 26. I would love if he got 30, but I don't need 30 out of him for him to pay off his value. And he's only $6,500. So I kind of bombed all over the map on this one. But that's my sell on Tim Hardaway. He's cheaper. He's in a hammer game in Portland, and he's going to keep getting the minutes. Like, I mean, I guess I could throw in a couple percentage points on Ntilikina and Michael Beasley and stuff like that because, yeah, they might. But
I'm going to stop calling them the Knicks. I'm just going to start calling it the New York Jenga Tower because it's going to come unraveled any minute now, the whole thing. Like,
you don't think it already has?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, completely. Like, I'm talking like a Derrick Rose going missing sort of event happening shortly with this team because they're just a mess. Like, they've already been talking here. Like, Hornacek's done. Like, it's just a foregone conclusion at this point already.
Yeah, they're trying to get Doc Rivers.
But, yeah, I can't play any Knicks right now. And, you know, and the only two guys that are appealing to me are Moutier and Burke. And even trying to pick between them is a friggin' magic eight ball sort of thing. So, like, who the hell knows with the Knicks? I'm not messing with it right now. I'm not. And especially against Portland.
All right, good luck with that.
Get the hell on with that. No, all right, so Holiday, like, let's talk about the other team in New York. You know, the one who actually is starting to do things the right way. But they got two interesting options here at the shooting guard position. Number one, D'Angelo Russell's price absolutely plummeted about $1,000 here. On DraftKings now, let's see here on FanDuel. That's funny when I start. All right, now. All right, here's what's interesting. Still available on FanDuel around that same price at 7,300. DraftKings, though, 6,500. Love that spot for him against the Warriors. Now, everyone's like, yeah, great. D'Angelo Russell, that sounds good. Everybody wants to know about Caris LeVert after that huge performance last game. Now, I watch all these Nets games, so I've seen LeVert not do that well at times, but what seemed to be the catalyst in him reaching his career high last game is the fact that he had a great matchup against Lou Williams. Now, what's good about him in this matchup tonight is that the Nets really like what LeVert can do on defense, so that means probably some time on a guy like Curry, Klay Thompson, things like that. I think that gets him some extra minutes. Now, you see that LeVert ended up playing 29 minutes last game. That's because the Nets played him down the stretch. They rode the hot hand. They wanted to, you know, keep him in there in that game, keep him on Lou Williams. I don't know if he's going to get these stretch minutes again. I don't even know if we're going to have a stretch to play in this game if Golden State, you know, does what they usually do in the third quarter. But I think he's a pretty decent option on both of the sites. I know he's 46 on FanDuel, which isn't too bad. I mean, he's been at 4,000 like this whole time. He's 45 there on DraftKings, so I don't think that's a terrible price. But I do wonder how popular he's going to be given what he did last game.
God, I hope he's popular.
And what he did last game is not what he does a lot. Like he hit his career.
That's why I hope he's popular.
Yeah, so I like LeVert at this price. I just, if he's going to be massive chalk, I can't do that because I've seen plenty of performances where LeVert didn't do what he did last game. I'm very excited about the future for LeVert. I think he's going to be one of our top players for a while, but pump the brakes here a little bit if he's going to be very highly owned.
Oh, this is easy fade. I don't care what. Like, it's an easy fade for me.
You got to be my eyes and ears today because I know you listen to the rest of the industry. I don't give a shit what anybody else is doing, but I need to know.
I'll keep an eye out. My first feeling is I think that, you know, you're going to find a lot of people that are going to chase it. You know, if he's going to end up being, like, for me, I'm not going to play him either way. Unless I'm stacking these late games completely and throwing them in the main. That's the only way I'm going to end up possibly having any exposure whatsoever to Caris LeVert. But like, from what I see, is they've been down this road before. We've seen this show before. Maybe not in the raw points aspect, but at least in the fantasy point production.
Mm-hmm. It's actually against your boys.
Yeah. So I hope I'm thinking that the industry at this point in the season is smart enough to realize that this isn't something that is going to be an every night type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I hope that people chase that chalk. But I don't think they're going to, at least not to the ownership percentage to where it's going to be like, oh my God, how are we really talking about Caris LeVert at 30% owned on an eight game slate? I don't think he's going to get that out of hand.
Okay. All right. Anybody else here at the shooting guard position that we should be discussing?
No, not really. I mean, Eric Gordon is interesting because he's going to play the minutes going up against Oklahoma City, and he's going to be playing the backup two when Chris Paul's on the court. And I just know from personal experience, like watching them, it's going to change a little bit because they brought Corey Brewer in to play a lot of those significant minutes at the two. Make no mistake about it. Corey Brewer is actually still a pretty active defender. He's not that old. And if you call him old, then I'm going to jump through the freaking microphone because he's younger than
old.
I am. He's younger than both me and you. He seems old. He might be NBA old. Let's clarify that.
All right.
But he's still an active defender. The problem with Brewer the other night against Portland was he couldn't defend without fouling. Now, a lot of that has to do with not practicing with the Thunder and not knowing exactly. Yeah, rusty, and not knowing how to switch on rotations and stuff like that. Like, he was caught out of position a lot. Like, I noticed that a lot. He was caught out of position. I'm hoping with a couple days off that he's kind of understood and gone back to being it. So I'm a little interested in this one, in Eric Gordon. He hasn't played well. But he does have the ability to kind of go off, and if he's going to, this is the right matchup to do it.
You know, since I was just looking at it, if you wanted to have a pretty sweet construction here on in GPPs on DraftKings, could actually put Van Vleezy in there as a shooting guard, and then go with one of those high priced point guard options there. I mean, you could do a lot of different things on DraftKings, but that was something that stood out to me. All right, small forward time, yeah?
Please.
All right, KD at the top going up against the Nets. You know what's interesting is that he actually hasn't hit 50 here in a few games. He's been just below value on, I guess, what, like six straight games here. A little cheaper on DraftKings there at 9,700. He's 10-2 on FanDuel. Look, the Nets, they don't have a guy. I mean, I guess Damari Carroll's probably the closest guy that they got that can, you know, stick with him on a one-on-one basis. But even then, we're reaching right there. So, again, we talk about this a lot with Kevin Durant when he's taken on a team. Who the hell really can match up with this guy? And I don't
Damari mind. Carroll is no OG and a newbie.
No, not at all. But, again, just when you have when he's going up against these teams where there's just really nobody to match up with him, I have no issue with that.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm finding it very hard to pay up at 10-2 for Durant when I can go get Paul George for 86 or Otto Porter for 76. Oh, well, maybe not Otto Porter today, but like we're top heavy today. Like,
yeah,
this is the ugliest position on the slate in my opinion. Like, I don't really like Damari Carroll at 62. I definitely don't like Michael Beasley outside of like 10 or 15% of my script. I might go to Etuan Moore all the way down at 42. That's how bad it is right now. I'm gonna have a little bit of Trevor Ariza because I'm gonna pair him with some James Harden. I mean, with OG out, I mean, I can see going to Terry and Prince a little bit. He's not gonna be chalk, so he's gonna perform.
I don't know.
Unless Bazemore sits out again, then he's going to be
saying,
a massive shock.
Saying that Taurean Prince is going to perform is one of the ballsiest things one could ever say.
Hey, I've made some pretty ballsy calls that have worked.
I'd say it can't work. I'm just saying. A little ballsy there. Taurean Prince's success go together like lamb and tuna fish.
Here's a question. Okay. And I don't think he did well yesterday. I'm double checking just to make sure. Yeah, he didn't do well yesterday. Yesterday was about the dreamiest matchup that you could get for this guy. This is not a dreamy matchup like it was yesterday. Can we go back to Josh Richardson at 64? The dude only played 18 minutes last night.
That's appealing for tonight. Not last night, obviously.
Right. But he was massive. He was highly owned last night. Now he's 6,400 going against a Washington team that, you know, Otto Porter's a pretty decent defender. Kelly Oubre's kind of pesky that, you know, we'll play the 3/4.
All right, here's cool. All right, here's what works for Richardson, right? So I know that prior to the last game, I don't know how many turnovers they had in their last game, but the Wizards had 18 turnovers in consecutive games going into their last game against the Pacers. So I remember writing in the notes, I said, look, this is pretty appealing for Oladipo on FanDuel. Granted, you don't want to pay all that money, but I believe Oladipo ended up having 4 or 5 steals in that game. I look at Richardson as kind of like a diet version in that, you know, yeah, he can get his hands on a couple steals. He could do a couple different things throughout the game, maybe get some blocks as well. So, yeah, I can see it. I got to check and see how many turnovers, if they fixed it there over the last game. But I guess not if Oladipo had 5 steals.
Guys.
So, yeah, so I can see that part work in there. Sure.
I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Okay.
Please, 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 guys, do not chase Justice Winslow.
Oh.
Just don't. Just save yourself. Save yourself. Oh, and Spartan, if you're watching, if you're listening to this today, don't play Paul George.
No Paul George allowed for Spartan. I just wanted to double clarify that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, legit, you could go all the way down to the bottom and start to take some chances on like a Dante Cunningham. I mean, you could probably
Robert Covington.
You could. I'm talking about like Barrel.
Well, I mean.
I've already talked about CJ Miles. I mean,
we found Covington face down in the gutter more than a few times. But no, I get what's really appealing about Covington is on DraftKings. I mean, he's only 4,900. Like. Again, on Sunday, I said that DraftKings had a this is a direct quote, a disrespectful price on Jonas Valanciunas, where he was at 4,800. Again, I don't know what it is because, you know, the Hornets have Michael Kidd Gilchrist there at the 3, but that position has been getting torn up by small forwards. Like, it just happened. So I think Covington actually, these two teams played each other recently, and I believe Covington had a pretty good game. But again, he's only 5,500 on FanDuel, which isn't a terrible price for this matchup. But again, on DraftKings, you better have you some Bob Covington in your lineup tonight.
Yeah,
or you're a silly goose, brah.
I mean, there's a lot of guys under 4K or around that 4K range on FanDuel that are going to be playing 26, 27 minutes tonight. And I actually honestly don't mind a lot of them. But I mean, if I'm doing that, then I'm going Westbrook, Harden, and Embiid as much as I, you know, if I can. I haven't tried to personally make it, but if I'm punting, double punting this position with like a Joe Harris, CJ Miles, where I'm paying 35 and 3,900, or a Darius Miller and Evan Turner, where I'm paying 35 and 39, you know, something along that, where I'm not paying more than 8K for the whole position, I'm locking and loading as many as I possibly can.
All right. Hey, Keith, have you ever seen the movie Boiler Room?
Oh, my God.
Great movie, right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
All right, so what I'm about to do right now is kind of how the main character, I believe it's Jesse, right?
Yeah.
All right, so what he said when he's on the phone when trying to sell the stock to the guy, he's like, look, let me show you a little increase, I guess, in your margins or whatever, and then, you know, then we could start doing real trades. All right, so the guy that I want to use that theory on today is Jeremy Lamb. So recently, Michael Carter-Williams got injured. Looks like he's going to be out for the season. So earlier this season, I saw Jeremy Lamb, you know, he had some really nice performances. But it seemed like once Michael Carter-Williams started playing some minutes, you know, Jeremy Lamb wasn't as ball dominant. You know, now without Michael Carter-Williams on that second unit, you're probably going to see Lamb in more point guard situations. You know, again, I think we're going to regularly see this guy in the high 20s now, low 30s, something like that. Again, I don't think tonight's the night to do it, but I just want everybody to keep an eye out for Jeremy Lamb going forward because, again, without Michael Carter-Williams, his numbers were pretty solid. Once MCW got back in the lineup, they went down. Like, and I would watch these Hornets games and see, you know, he would just kind of be standing off to the side at some points, you know, while Michael Carter-Williams was handling the ball. That situation is going to change now. So, again, I don't think tonight, just keep an eye on it.
Yeah, and you can legit put these three in one lineup. You got to double punt the small forward position, but you can legit put them in.
Indeed. I know I heard a couple people already talking about Etwan Moore. You excited about that?
Yeah, I just talked about him.
Okay, good. Well, you know me. I look at other things while you talk. It happens. It's, you know. See, this is where you're going to benefit now, having a day off from electronics. You're going to be focused and fresh. All right. Any other small forwards?
No, not really.
All right, cool. Let's get our power on with these forwards. AD at the top. We already talked about him. 11-6 there on DK. 12-5 on FanDuel. Now, what's interesting is that AD hasn't really had a good run historically against the Clippers. They've done a pretty good job against him, but that last time that they played, it was interesting. He had a really bad first half and then went absolutely bananas on him in the second half. So do you really think that there is something that the Clippers do that kind of thwarts AD, or is he just so playing so well right now that it doesn't even matter?
Yeah, I think it was Blake Griffin pissing him off.
And then obviously that last one, no Blake Griffin.
Exactly.
I like it. Okay, good thinking, good thinking.
Like, Blake Griffin's not known for being a good defender, but he is a pain in the butt. Like I said, AD, the only reason he's a 1C for me is because he's $1,000 more on FanDuel. Like, on DraftKings, DraftKings are so evil. He's so freaking close to each other, these three, that I just don't even, like, I haven't tried to build a lineup over there, but if I can get 2 to 3 in every lineup over there, then that's what I would probably do.
My goodness.
2 out of 3, not 2 to 3. 2 out of 3.
All right. Yeah, so, all right, both games for AD this season. I didn't even see that the game that they played in November, but he was like right at 55 in that one, and then the last time they played, he was just below 60 on FanDuel. He just got above it on DraftKings, so I dig it. All right, Tobias Harris looking like he's in a good spot tonight in that same game. You've also got guys like Ben Simmons against the Hornets, Draymond Green against the Nets. Out of those guys, what's appealing to you?
I think I probably only play Ben Simmons if I'm pairing him with Joel Embiid.
Okay.
Good matchup, yes. Kind of a little bit of a pace down spot, if I remember correctly.
Not terrible. Both near the top 10.
But like I think it's a pace. It's a slight pace down for. I think Charlotte plays at a slightly slower pace.
We've got – all right, Philly runs the fifth fastest. Charlotte tied for 11th.
Okay, so, yeah, it's a slight decrease. Not huge. I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference, especially right. Since he's under 9K. I just – probably not going to go there. I think I'd much rather play Draymond Green or Tobias Harris. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather play Nikola Mirotic. Paul Millsap is, I mean, I love the mid-range here. I love Anthony Davis, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, Tobias, Draymond, I think they're both kind of, you know, Tobias is probably fair price. Draymond's maybe a little bit underpriced. I think Nikola Mirotic is a good price. I think Paul Millsap is severely underpriced, but he's just not playing the minutes. But if I've got him projected for 29 minutes and he gets that, he's going to hit 35, 40 points. Dwight Powell is interesting. He's been getting the minutes. They've been giving him the run. It's kind of come at the cost of Maximilian Kleber. But, you know, they're still running Dirk out there at the five. Dirk's a nice, interesting option because he's going to pull Nikola Jokic up away from the basket for about 25 minutes a game or tonight. Montrezl Harrell's at 5K. I don't know if I can do that. Serge Ibaka has been playing extremely well and gets a cake
bananas
matchup.
Him and Siakam.
Yeah, like both of these guys are just playing, and Siakam's doing it in like 18 to 22 minutes a game.
I know. Yeah, I love watching this guy play, man. He's good. Remember we were talking about that second unit for the Raptors. We'll probably talk about Jakob Poeltl here as well, but you know, Van Vliet, Siakam, Poeltl, guys like that, these guys put up some huge numbers in limited minutes in that Toronto second unit. I say it all the time, I'll put that Toronto second unit up against most starting lineups in the NBA. Like, they just play so well together. So, again, against Atlanta, just, you know, could be a bonanza of fantasy points. Yeah. Let's see. All right, so Millsap talked about. I just with Draymond Green, again, we have seen the Nets, like, really struggle on the boards at times this season. If we're going to see Draymond play the five in more of these sets against this matchup, I really like it a lot. I really think that Dre can get to 50 points. And I'm usually not a Dre guy just because, you know, we usually see him in like the 30s or like the low 40s if it's a good day. But I just think everything with this matchup lends itself to a ton of upside here for him. And he's $600 cheaper on DraftKings. So, again, you've got that triple-double upside there with him. I really like that. And the two last guys I wanted to mention, Dario Saric. So he's always underpriced on DraftKings. Like, they just, again, more disrespectful.
What's his price over there?
$6,300.
Lock and load.
And FanDuel, he's $6,900.
Yeah, I don't know if I can play him on FanDuel at 69 when Paul Millsap's 61, John Collins 62, Mirotic is $100 cheaper at 68. I don't know if I can play him there, but on DraftKings at 63, whoo!
Yes. It's great, and it's a fantastic matchup against the Hornets. We've seen this work out plenty of times for power forwards, so we got that. And then the last guy I want to mention is Nerlens Noel, and it's kind of surprising that I'm mentioning the guy because we did a pod earlier this year, and I remember reading an article word for word talking about how all the ways that Rick Carlisle hated Nerlens Noel. Well, over the last three games, he's been getting about 16 minutes. This is a matchup where they're probably going to need him against Denver, and he's only $3,400 on DraftKings. I mean, basically free. We know that Noel is another guy that doesn't need a lot of minutes to post some points. I think you got to take a look, or you got to think twice about it on FanDuel. He has $3,900, which isn't too bad, but on DraftKings, he's basically free. So I would certainly take a look at him there.
Yeah, he's a center on FanDuel, so you can't do it at the power forward position.
Ah, but, that's right.
You know, he is definitely, if he's going to get 16, 18 minutes, we know that he has the ability to kind of go out there and do something.
Yeah. I can't believe he got out of the doghouse. I thought he was never leaving there.
Yeah, I don't know what he did to get in that bad.
Who knows? Like, you know, there's so many situations in the NBA where we're like, why is this guy not getting more minutes? Like, he must have, like, slid in the coach's wife's DMs or something like that. That's where I always go with it, because it's like, you got a really talented player, Nerlens Noel, and, you know, at times they were putting Maxi Kleber out there over him. Nah, it doesn't make sense.
It makes perfect sense if you're trying to lose.
Yeah, good point.
And then you don't want to pay him, because isn't he a free agent after this year?
I do not know his contract situation.
Like, I mean, there's just, like, if you're trying to keep the guy's stock down and then kind of underpay him but overpay him, meaning you're underpaying him for what his talent and his projected outlook and value could be, but you're overpaying him for what his production has been, then yeah, I can see what they're trying to do. If they're trying to make him the center of the future, like, there's no reason to run him out there right now. Let Dirk go get a swan song, develop Dwight Powell, get some depth, and then, you know, Mark Cuban's not dumb. That's why he got, I guess he's dumb about
Man, that's why he's on Shark Tank, man. They don't just give those spots out there on the panel for free.
No kidding, but I guess he's dumb for talking about it because he got fined, you know, $600,000, but he's not stupid when it comes to these things. He knows what he's doing.
By the way, $600K for Mark Cuban's like a dry cleaning bill.
Yeah.
Yikes. A couple of people talked about Melo today. You got any interest going there?
It's not a bad spot coming out of a game of rest, going against the Houston Rockets at home. I normally like my Melo underneath the 6K range, and he's right at that, so maybe a little bit, just because the upside is there if he gets hot, because the shots are going to be there. And coming off of rest, his legs should be back underneath him, so maybe, yeah. I mean, I don't mind it. It's not my favorite play. I'd much rather have Paul Millsap for $100 more.
Keith, you know how I like my Melo?
Fried and baked.
I was just going to say I don't, but... Oh! No Melo. How about that? Melo-less. Yeah. Boom shakalaka.
Well, you know me. I don't have, like, I don't playlist. Like, I'm even considering... We'll talk about him here in a second, so...
Okay. Yeah, just looking at the rest of the power forwards, I have nothing else. If you don't, we can move on to centers. Go down the home stretch.
Sure.
All right. Lots of talent here today at the top. We'll start it out with Joel Embiid because we saw this matchup recently. He actually ended up getting Dwight Howard into really bad foul trouble early on.
Oh, God, that was so funny.
Any interest in going back to the well here?
Oh, yes. Like, he's – if I have a 1A, B, and C, he's my 1D.
Whoa. Okay.
Like, that's – this just – Okay, so let's put it this way. 1A, 1B is Harden, Westbrook, or Westbrook, Harden. You know, flip-flop them, go, whatever. 2 would be Anthony Davis, in my opinion, and then 3 would be Joel Embiid, with 4 being Kevin Durant.
So much talent.
Like, what this guy can do, and... Honestly, does it not remind you of a young Orlando Dwight Howard?
Ooh, I was going to go young Hakeem Olajuwon.
Well, I didn't get to see a lot of what he did. You know, I'm not quite that old, and I don't.
NBA films, brah.
Well, I will go back and watch a lot of the MLB old games and stuff.
Right.
I don't do, like, I only started getting into NBA a couple years ago.
Yeah, and when I got into it, I dove
into it. But yeah, you know, I'm not a fan. Like, I've watched a lot of the Jordan games and the Magic Johnson games, but I never watched a lot of the Hakeem Olajuwon games.
Yeah, I get a lot of flack for saying, I get a lot of flack for saying the old NBA sucked because there wasn't as much athleticism. They're like, oh, well, you know, now, you know, they used to be able to tackle people. Like, why do I want my basketball players to be tackling people? Like, I watch football and and other sports like that. I don't, you know, my basketball, I like offense and I like high flying.
I think in that aspect, like, you used to be able to actually make contact without it being called for a foul.
Sure.
I think that's what they mean by that. And I can definitely see that. I'm not opposed to that. Like, I don't need every little touch to be called a ticky-tack foul.
Definitely not.
But I really did enjoy watching, not his attitude or anything like that, because I think Dwight Howard's a tool. Wow. But I love the way that Joel Embiid kind of handles everything, because he uses social media to advantage to troll as much as possible. And who can forget him being in the front row of the home run derby with the huge glove?
Yes, yes. Out there at the Clevelander in Miami. I've been myself. You have a good place. Baseball, beer, leather chairs, and scantily clothed women. That's all I need in my life.
Yeah. So that was kind of one of those things, like, it was just a really, really, really – like, I really do think they had very similar games from when Dwight Howard was younger. Very athletic, very physical. And the fact that Joel Embiid can take that and school Dwight Howard with basically his own game is so much fun to watch.
Sure. So, all right, big in the Embiid-skivich this evening. So, if you now on FanDuel, if you go with Embiid, then you can't go with Jokic in this fantastic matchup against the Mavericks that he's done so well against in the past.
I know.
That's a risk you're willing to take?
That's a risk I'm willing to take because I'll take Embiid ceiling over Jokic ceiling without the triple-double bonus.
Interesting.
Now, so, DK, okay, let's split this.
Yes.
DK, they are very, very close, 95-96. I think on DK you can go with Jokic. I think on FanDuel, though, where Embiid is 10-3, I think his ceiling is so much higher because he actually does more in the blocks department. And he's only a $500 difference. Like, wow. I think if I were, and I don't know if I'm playing on DK today, but if I were playing and splitting, that's how I would split it. Would be DK, Jokic, because of the triple-double bonus that he could get to, and is definitely more likely to get to it than, you know, Embiid. But on FanDuel, where I can get a lot more blocks and credits for steals and stuff like that, which is not something that Jokic does a ton of. He can, but that's not the main part of his game. Then I think I'd go with Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are times where it looks like Jokic is running the damn point, running the ball up the court. But, I love the matchup. He's had at least 50 points on both sites in four of the last six games against the Mavericks. Look at the mat, like we talked about with Kevin Durant, like who can really stick with this guy? Look at the Mavericks roster. Not many people there that can be hanging with a guy like Nikola Jokic. So there's a reason why they're dead last in rebounding ratio in the NBA, my friends. And
it's because freaking Nerlens Noel hasn't graced us with his authority yet as much.
Yeah, you stick Nerlens Noel out there against Nikola Jokic. Let me know how it goes. I think it'll not go so hot. All right, so DeAndre Jordan. I'm just looking at this from a price perspective. DeAndre Jordan against New Orleans. Any interest there?
I think maybe a little bit, just because I don't think that, you know, and this is I'm going from the angle that I'm gonna stack a lot of the late games together, and so I think there I can. Mm-hmm. It's not the play that I'm.
That makes you do backflips?
Yeah, it's not something that I'm uberly excited about. But it's not something I'm going to shy away from. I definitely think that he could end up performing well. He's becoming that type of guy, though, that I'm wondering, you know, which one shows up from time to time. Because it finally does look that his agent or somebody has told him, look, you're unrestricted free agent this summer. You need to start balling and balling well without the help of somebody else there. Because if not, then you're not going to get the max deal that you're looking for. And make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, DeAndre Jordan is looking for a max deal. He needs to ball out. Like, he needs to be one of the main reasons that these guys get into the playoffs. It doesn't matter if they get bounced, but if he absolutely just goes out there and asserts himself, then he can get his max deal.
He's a strong man.
I don't think he's going to get it with the Clippers, but I do think he can get it.
I can't believe. So that deal where, you know, the same offseason that he spurned the Mavs, that's the deal that's up already?
Yeah, it was only Remember, deals in the NBA are a lot shorter. And about 4 years ago, they started players started getting in opt-out clauses. That's why we keep hearing everything about Kevin Durant every offseason. And LeBron James. Like, players want the shorter deals so they can opt out because they know that the salary cap keeps increasing. Mm. So because max deals go on a percentage of the salary cap. If that percentage, if that salary cap is going to keep increasing, then I only want to sign 1 year deals to where my max salary can percentagely go up. So now they signed for like 3 years, but like Kevin Durant signed a 2 year contract this last offseason. But, he took a pay cut and he can opt out. It's just like, you know, a lot of these guys, like you don't see like the Russell Westbrook deals that he signed this offseason aren't what a lot of stars are going to sign, but he did that for a lot of different reasons. If you remember, right after Durant left Oklahoma City before last season, Russell Westbrook signed a quote-unquote two-year deal that was ended this year, but really it was only a raise and increase in salary and an extension for a year. Because he was supposed to be a free agent this past summer, and they basically just extended him a year. Well, now they've kind of nullified that, and they've extended him another 4 years with the deal that he just signed. So with a lot of these opt-out clauses and stuff, and you're starting to see it in baseball too, but with a lot of these opt-out clauses and stuff, it's something that's kind of funny about that.
Our resident contract advisor here at the DFS Tournament, Keith Hall, everyone. Keith Hall. All right, looking at some of these other matchups here. Sean Whiteside's interesting. He went bananas last night. But it's interesting, and it's not chasing that last game. It's this matchup against the Wizards where we've talked about attacking this team down low a bunch of times. But not only that, he's got at least – now I'm rounding up here because one of these is a 39. I'm rounding up, folks. But he's got at least 40 fantasy points on both sites in each of his last seven games against the Wizards. That's amazing right there.
Yeah, the only okay. So the question about Hassan Whiteside has never been his talent; it's always been his head.
We talked about this last night.
You know, is the guy? Does he feel like showing up? And yep. You know, we're really on the same page with this. My opinion is if you don't get him involved early, where he can put up a dominant game type game, if he's just going to be kind of a if somebody else is kind of getting into the groove and, you know, all these other things, then Hassan Whiteside will probably check out. Yeah. And he's probably only going to play about 20 minutes. Now,
he's I don't like what's going on here. I'm not going to.
He's like, this isn't going to be my type of game. I got my max deal already.
You guys got this. All right, great, yeah.
Yeah, so, but it's so hard not to go to this. I agree with you. I don't think – like I talk a lot about, you know, guys that haven't performed up to their potential, then all of a sudden they break out and have this monster game fading them the next time they're on the court. I don't think that this is that type of situation. If I don't have a lot of Hassan Whiteside, it's because I'm playing Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, DeAndre Jordan. It's because I'm playing other guys, not because I don't like Whiteside.
Gotcha. Now, what's interesting to note, too, is that I believe Whiteside only – now, again, I didn't see the game last night, but I believe
minutes.
He really didn't play much at all. They had that game, you know, nice in hand there going down the stretch. So, obviously, a nice little boost for Whiteside going forward. I'm really not a fan of guys on the back end of back-to-backs usually, especially when we have this many games. But, man, very, very tough to shy away from that matchup right
okay,
there.
Okay, so here's something to think about. These are the guys that are within $600. Of Hassan Whiteside, okay, or $700. Let's go $700. DeAndre Jordan, Clint Capella, Dwight Howard, Steven Adams, Enes Kanter, Yusef Nurkic, and then, yeah.
Come on, put in Valanciunas in there.
No, I said $700, not $800.
Gotcha. Wait, on FanDuel, how much is it?
64.
My goodness. 56 on DK.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, I'm using FanDuel as my base, but.
Gotcha.
So, like, that's something that you've got to kind of take into consideration here is you've got a lot of – now, I don't think Clint Capella is playable going up against Steven Adams. I'll have to go back and look, but I think that Adams kind of runs him all over the court. Not athletically, just like physically. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't mind Dwight Howard maybe getting a little bit of a chip on his shoulders, going out and trying to school a younger Joel Embiid. Obviously, Joel Embiid's a top play. Nikola Jokic is number two.
And I just wanted to say real quick, I'm glad you brought it up. I mean, I'm sure Howard wants to pay him back big time for embarrassing him like that. So
mm-hmm. you got and then you've got, you know, two guys that I mean, and Steven Adams, I think he kind of takes it to Houston every once in a while. But then you've got two guys like Enes Kanter and Jusuf Nurkić sitting there at 6,500. Now, I talked a little bit about Enes Kanter. He doesn't need a lot of minutes. He doesn't need 30 minutes in order to go ham. But if he gets it, then he can definitely do it. I'm not playing these guys if I'm on DK in the same lineup. Because I think that Enes, the way that Nurkić has been fouling lately, and the way that Enes Kanter has the tendency to get guys into foul trouble, like when we talk about it, we don't talk about Enes Kanter as one of those guys that can do that, but he is one of those guys that can do it. I watched it for 3 years here. I think it's one of those things that I'm really, really, really kind of torn on how I'm going to play it. I like Kanter's upside more, but if this game turns into a slower type feel game with Portland being on the back end of a back-to-back, Nurkić only played 29 minutes last night. I think I might want to have some Nurkić involvement as well.
Yeah, I'd much rather go with Nurkić. I mean, I already made my feelings quite clear on the New York Jenga Tower situation. But, and again, I just think that that applies to everybody. But, yeah, Nurkić would certainly
don't get me wrong. Enes Kanter can go out there. He can play 15 minutes in the first half and then see 4 minutes in the second half. I'm not saying that that's not a possibility. It is not cash safe by any stretch of the imagination, especially with it being on the West Coast.
Right.
But I think that when you're talking about a guy that can legit in a game average 1.9, 1.8 fantasy points a minute, that's really hard to turn down, at least looking at it, $6,500.
Sure. Just a couple of the last guys we want to talk about here. The guys from the Raptors, Valanciunas, Jakob Poeltl. Now, I get both guys are going to be a lot cheaper there on DraftKings. Now, I just mentioned you got Valanciunas at $5,600 on DK, $6,400 on FanDuel. Poeltl going to be there at $3,900 on DraftKings, and on FanDuel he's at $4,400. So, with Valanciunas, he's actually had a really good season against Atlanta. Looking at the numbers here, they've increased over each game. So the first game, he goes for 27 on DK, 24 on FanDuel. The second game, 33 on both sites. And then we'll just call it 46 for that last game there.
Didn't he do that in 19 minutes, that last game?
The last one, it was 24 minutes.
Okay.
But the game before where he does the 33s, he does it in just under 22 minutes. And then the first game against the Atlanta, he only played 20 minutes. So, again, we've seen this plenty of times with Valanciunas. You know, he really doesn't need many minutes to do what he needs to do.
He's not 4,300, though, anymore.
No. But still, on DraftKings against Atlanta, it's okay. Now, I'd much rather go to Poeltl here because I have a feeling that Toronto's just going to wax that ass real quick. So yeah, I would probably go to Poeltl in that situation.
Yeah, not only that, but I think what you can do is you can take that and say, okay, what's his price on DK again? What'd you say?
DK, $5,600.
$5,600. I think you can legit play him and be kind of comfortable that he's not going to really outperform his salary, but he's not going to really let you down unless he gets into foul trouble or gets hurt or he just gets scratched for whatever reason. I'm not saying that he's going to. I'm just saying that would be the only thing. I think he's safe on DraftKings. Yes. I can't touch him on FanDuel.
No.
Like, you need him to blow up in order to just pay off his salary, mm-hmm. and there goes all your profit potential.
Yeah,
absolutely. And if I can get Enes Kanter for $100 more, that I could honestly say I could see 8 times out of 10 outperforming him. I've got to do it.
Now I talked about the Jenga Tower many of times, but it's just an absolute pricing you know, mismatch, I guess, between the two sites. But Kyle O'Quinn, who's been playing a pretty decent amount of minutes, he's 5,100 on FanDuel, but only 4,100 on DK. So that's an interesting route that you can go. He popped up as one of the better values on DK tonight. So, again, I'm not thrilled about the Knicks, but that is a good pricing discount that you could certainly take advantage of.
If you're playing the Knicks in cash games, you outside of Tim Hardaway Jr., I think you need to reevaluate your DFS strategy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I have to agree. All right, that's going to do it for us on today's show. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you want to join the DFS Army, you can do so, dfsarmy.com. You could also use the promo code podcast to get 10% off each month of your subscription. You're going to get time to play around with the Domination Station. You get to read all our VIP articles and tools that we got. And, you know, the Slack chat channel really helps people out, especially before lock, you know, with all the craziness that we have going on, especially at this time in the season. It's really a great place to be and make sure that you're getting updates of who, you know, if somebody sits out last minute, you know, you're going to be able to see who gets the usage bump and all that stuff relatively quick. So definitely join us here at DFS Army. We're having a lot of fun over here. Baseball season's coming up soon. I know the staff's all fired up for that, so that'll be pretty sweet as well. Keith, any final thoughts going into tonight's slate?
Nope, don't think so.
All right, so Mickey, that's the rest of the DFS Army. We go.
Peace out.